A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at table and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour that the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. But the servant who is ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating will be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. So do we have any children who'd like to come up for a children's homily? I want to read to you this book. It's called "There's a Monster Under My Bed." And it's about a little boy named Simon, and he went to bed and he heard breathing under his bed, and he said, "Oh no, there's a monster under my bed." And then as he lay there, he felt a bump. The whole mattress shook, and he said, "Oh no, there's a monster under my bed." And then he got worried, and he said, "Maybe there are two monsters under my bed. But then, what if there are three monsters under my bed? Or maybe four monsters under my bed? Maybe even there are five monsters under my bed." I should have gone to page-turning class. Five monsters under my bed, all ready to eat me as soon as I fall asleep. What am I going to do? And he lay there, and he thought about it, and then he remembered he had a flashlight. And he was a brave boy, and he thought, "I can take my flashlight, and I can peek under my bed and see if that monster is really as scary as I think he is." So he got the flashlight, and he got out of his bed, and as soon as he looked under his bed, he saw the monster's eyes. He says, "Oh no, what is this?" And then he turned his flashlight on, and lo and behold, it was his little brother Simon. And he said, "What are you doing under my bed?" And he said, "I'm hiding." I was afraid because there was a monster under my bed. And Alex said to him, you don't need to be afraid. There's no such thing as monsters. He said, but I tell you what, if you're afraid, you can sleep with me tonight, and I'll make sure nothing bad happens to you. Because he was a good big brother. Now, have you ever been afraid of something? Or you thought you were afraid of something, and you saw, and you thought you saw something, and when you look and found out it wasn't really anything at all. Maybe it was just a shadow or an old hat. Have you ever had that? Ever done that? Yeah. Because sometimes we're afraid of things, and they're not even really there, are they? They're just something we imagined. Now, believe it or not, there was a time when people were afraid of God. They thought if there was a big storm outside, then God must be angry causing that big storm. And they thought if someone got sick or hurt, then God must be mad at them and make them sick or injured because God was angry with them. But when Jesus came, he told us the truth. And he said, you don't have to be afraid of God. In the gospel today, Jesus says, you don't have to be afraid any longer because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So we don't have to be afraid of God because we know God is our friend and loves us. Okay? You can go back to your parents now. We all get afraid sometimes, don't we? Fear is a terrible thing. Fear causes so much destruction in our lives. It causes us to misunderstand and to lose our way. It causes us to make bad decisions. It can even make us sick. Doctors say that 90% of all psychosomatic illnesses start with the symptom of fear. You can actually scare yourself into sickness. Anxiety and stress can cause tremendous diseases in us. We all read in the Old Testament how afraid people were of God. They were always afraid that God was coming after them, that God was in the smiting business. You ever heard of that? God was in the smiting business. They just misunderstood. And Jesus, who is the perfect revelation of God, he came to us and said to us, you don't have to be afraid any longer. God is not against you. God is for you. God is on your side. He is here to help and to save and to bring you life and to bring you abundant life. God is for you. In fact, when John the Baptist was born, remember Zechariah? John the Baptist's father prophesied, and he said, God will set us free to worship him without fear. I mean, already the prophet knew that because of the coming of the Messiah, we would be able to worship God without being afraid of him. Because God is for us. He is not against us. But still in life, storms rise up, don't they? We have some storms, and those storms sometimes make us afraid. Some of you know I used to be a sailor, and I've traveled oceans all over the world, and I've seen a few storms. The biggest wave I ever hit was 60 feet high, big enough to swallow a house. Now, when you're at sea and you're coming up against a 60-foot wave, that can scare you. But the storms always pass. The storms always pass. There's a storm story in the Bible. There was a terrible storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were in the boat, and they see Jesus coming, and Jesus says what he always says, right? He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It is I. And Peter's not so sure about that. So he says, Jesus, if that's really you, call me to come out on the water with you. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. Come out on the water with me. It's okay. Come on in. The water's fine. So Peter gets out of the boat and he begins walking on the water towards Jesus. And as long as he keeps his eyes fixed on Jesus, everything's okay. But then the wind and the waves and the storm began to distract Peter. And he took his eyes off Jesus, and he became afraid. And as soon as he looked at the wind and the waves and the storm, he began to sink. And Jesus reached his hand down to save him. Now, fortunately, Peter was ready for this. Because at an earlier point in Peter's life, Jesus had said to Peter, "Come, follow me." And Peter had left everything behind so he could follow Jesus. He left behind his boats, he left behind his nets, he left behind his home, he left his friends and his hometown. He left everything behind so he could follow Jesus. And so when Jesus reached down to take Peter's hand, Peter's hands were empty. All he had was Jesus. All he needed was Jesus. So he reached up and took Jesus' hand, and Jesus pulled him up out of the water. There are many storms in life. Sometimes these storms frighten us. Sometimes we don't know what we are facing. In fact, I know at sea sometimes we'd see a storm coming towards us, and it'd be coming after us so fast. It'd be coming after us at 30 knots, which is about 33 miles per hour for all you landlubbers. And so the storm would be coming after us, and what are we going to do? Are we going to try to find a way around it? Are we going to turn and try to run from it? But we have some place we need to go. We have some place we need to be. And the captain would turn the ship straight into the storm and face the storm head on. Those of you even who are lake sailors or fishermen, boatmen, you know that when you come against wind and waves, the only way to keep your boat afloat is to go straight into the waves. You can't let the waves catch you broadsided, or they could roll your boat over. So you go straight into the waves, and the captain will take and steer the boat straight into the storm. Why does he do that? Because he has a radar. He can see beyond the storm. He knows that when that squall line whips up like that, it's only a few miles deep. It may be 100 miles across, but if you go straight into it, you're in and out in just 10 or 15 minutes. You've just got a few miles to go through the storm. While you're in there, it's wicked and it's rough, and the wind and the waves beat against you, and you just think you're not going to make it. There's a great prayer we prayed in Compline, or night prayer. Merciful Lord, amidst the changes and chances of this life, guide us by your ever merciful and ever helpful aid. God is there to help and to guide, to take us through. And as long as we don't run away in fear, he will bring us through the storm. We know what Adam and Eve did when they sinned, don't we? They were afraid. And they ran and they hid from God. Imagine how the world would have changed if instead they had run to God. Who had run to God, whose property is always to have mercy. And said, "God, have mercy on us." All history would have changed. But instead, they ran and they hid in fear. And so today we struggle. We struggle with sin, and we struggle with death, and we struggle with the storms of life. But you know, I know you've all heard this in the liturgy, you've read this in the scriptures, Jesus sets us free from sin and from death. He has canceled the penalty of sin by nailing it to the cross. He has defeated death by rising from the dead. Therefore, what do we have to be afraid of? If we have no fear of sin because Christ has canceled the penalty of sin by nailing it on the cross, if we have no fear of death Because Christ has conquered death, what do we need to be afraid of? It's only those things that we hold in our arms that weigh us down, that keep us from reaching out to Jesus when he reaches down to us. Those are the only things we need to be afraid of, and those are the only things we need to let go. Yes, there are storms in life, and there are times when we are afraid, and there are times we don't know what the outcome will be. But God is for us, and God has a wonderful plan for us. My goodness gracious, great things are happening even right here at Guardian Angels. Do you know that? We've got the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Conference meeting here. I hope everybody takes advantage of that, to hear great speakers and to meet wonderful people and have time to pray. It's going to be a wonderful experience. It's happening here. You know, we did the time and talent sheets, and a lot of you said that you wanted to have prayer groups and small group meetings. And so we're going to be starting those up in this coming Lent. And the diocese is spending $5,000 so that we can train those people who want to be facilitators of small group prayer meetings in homes this Lent. And not only that, during this Lent, Alan Ames, who is a visionary, he's from Australia, and he has had visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, had conversations with the Blessed Virgin Mary, kind of like St. Catherine of Siena, or like the visionaries at Medjugorje. And he's coming to the United States to speak. He speaks all over the world, and he has a healing ministry. He's coming here to Guardian Angels this Lent. Wonderful things are happening here. God is stirring among us. God is going to do great things among us. But between here and there may be a couple of storms. There may be some times that we're confused and we don't know what's happening. But if we keep, a little bit like Peter, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we don't waver from the right or to the left, but always focus on Jesus and keep pressing through the storm, we'll come out to the other side, to calm water and safe harbor. Beloved, this is not about you or about me or about the way things used to be or the way we want things to be. This is all about Jesus. It is only about Jesus. If we lose sight of that, we will indeed be lost. But if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, even in the midst of the storm, we will come through and find calm water and safe harbor. Because Jesus said, you don't have to be afraid any longer. My Father is pleased to give you the kingdom.